We've been looking at walking with God. Last week we looked at being open with the Lord and talking with God. This morning we're going to look at the daily renewal of the relationship. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Verse number 16 says, the part of you that got saved, when you get saved, has to have a renewal day by day. And it's the inward man. It's your spirit. And so the walking with God, I tell you this all the time. I hope the only time you read your Bible is not when we're in church. You have to have, I know we live in a Catholic area and I'm not bashing Catholics. I'm just telling you the mentality that I find here in the area is this. The Catholic mentality is we go to church once a week. We confess our sins, and then we live differently during the week because you're going to confess your sins next week. You know what I mean? We get our sins forgiven every week. If you take that mentality into Christianity, it cripples you. You're not supposed to look at church like, oh, this is a holy place. We live one way here, and we live differently when we leave here. God's with you all the time if you're saved. He lives in, you're the dwelling place of God. This place is not the dwelling place of God. That's Old Testament. That's when God's, you know, kind of glory showed over the, you know, cloud by day and fire by night. God said, I live in you. You're God's dwelling when you're saved. So a crippling mentality is this. Well, when we're at church, we read the Bible and we pray, but when we go home, we don't. That makes for a very weak Christianity. It's wonderful when you realize God's with you all the time. God lives inside of you. And there has to be a daily renewal, a daily time where you meet with God and you talk with God and you get from God so you can live for God and you fill the tank up spiritually so you have energy to expend for Him. there is a renewal. If I used the word, and I want to get you somewhere this morning, but watch this. There's the renewal of the mind in Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4. God says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. My mind, I have a message on brainwashing, because the Bible is a type of word of water, and we're washed by the Word of God. And I know my mind, when I got saved, my mind needed washing because it was dirty. And I mean, I had things in there, and what goes into the computer stays in the computer. You cannot remove things from the past. You can only override it. So God says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do you do that? Read the Bible. You get God's mind in you. You read the Bible, and it helps override the thoughts. I like what one person told me. When I got saved, he said, you know, he said, my mind is so filthy. He said, I've got such a horrible past. He said, the horrible things I've seen, the partying and the filth that I've done. He said, it takes me 10 chapters. He said, when I start reading my Bible, I have to read 10 chapters before I hear anything from God. Now, I can say this. I did not have that kind of a past, but he was at least wise enough to say, when I start reading the Bible, my brain needs washing. My brain needs to be cleansed. How's that happen? You're renewed in your mind, Romans 12:2 and Ephesians 4:22, by the washing of the water, by the Word of God. Colossians 3 says we're renewed in knowledge, verses 9 and 10. Renew knowledge. How's that happen? Once again, everything's going to focus on the Bible. Go to Psalm 51, verse 10. There is a daily renewal that has to take place for a Christian or they're weak. The more you read your Bible, the more strength you have to say no to temptation. If you starve yourself spiritually, then you cannot spiritually resist anything. This is our strength. The Word of God is. My time in the Bible is very important. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Notice it's a small s. Your spirit is your attitude or your outlook on life. And your spirit, my outlook on life and how I view my worldview, my daily view, how excited I am about my wife, my marriage, my family, my job, everything, that is renew a right attitude within me. God wants to renew your mind. God wants to renew your knowledge. God wants to renew your spirit, your attitude, so you can have a good outlook on things. And then Isaiah 40, 28 to 31, God says He wants to renew your strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. Now go to Matthew 11. You say, preacher, this is just another Bible study on reading your Bible. Yes, this is just one more angle at a familiar topic. You're right. It's reading your Bible. Look at Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If I took that verse when Jesus said, I want you to learn of me. Well, God speaks to you through His Word. God does not speak to you through emotions. God doesn't speak through your feelings and opinions. God speaks to you when you read His Word. Have you ever thought of this? Are you reading your Bible and praying only, or are you spending time with Jesus? You spend time with Jesus by reading your Bible. If that is too far of a thought for you, you need to understand something. Go to John chapter 1. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. And the Word, capital W, was with God. And the Word, capital W, was God. And the Word was God. Word is capitalized three times in verse 1. In the New Testament, the word is capitalized seven times, God's number of perfection. John 1:1, look over at John 1:14. Just look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God personified in a person. This is the written Word. Jesus is the living Word. They're one and the same. If you have a King James Bible, you do have, in other words, all Bible versions aren't right. I think we all know that. If you have a King James Bible, then you can look at God's Word as the Lord. Let me phrase it to you this way. 1 John 1:1, we handled Him. We touched the Word. 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Revelation 19:13, and His name shall be called the Word of God. A name of Jesus is the Bible, the Word of God. This is as close as you're going to get to Jesus till you get to heaven. If you've got the right Bible, God's pure Word, that is Jesus. If you're just reading your Bible, okay, what chapter today? What book? What? Okay, if you're just reading your Bible and praying, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know what I mean? If it's just memorized prayers, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for the food, amen. If it's just duty, your daily renewal comes from spending time with the Lord, and you have to view God's Word. That book you have in your hands is the living Word of God. It's alive. It's the only book in the world that's like that. It's perfect English if it's a King James Bible. So are you reading your Bible and praying, or are you spending time with Jesus? Because Jesus said, if you'll learn of me, you'll find rest unto your soul. Not going through the motions, not doing your day. I understand duty is part of the Christian life, but there has to be some, nobody interferes with my Bible time. You say, why? Because this is my time with Jesus. It has to be viewed that way. When I read this book, it is Jesus speaking to my heart, just like it's God speaking to your heart. There has to be a daily renewal. Now go to Exodus 16. Go to Exodus 16 and let's look at a Old Testament example. Walking with God is me getting what I need from the Lord. When I pray, I'm talking to God. And when I read His Word, this is the Lord talking to me. That's the way it should be. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. You don't love Jesus more than you love your Bible. Okay, let me flip it. You only love Jesus as much as you love your Bible. They're one and the same. They're equal. And if you don't spend time in your Bible, then you're not spending time with Jesus. It's very important. It's very important to the Christian in their walk with God. Look at Exodus chapter 16. They are a month and a half out of Egypt being delivered from bondage. The Jews are being led by Moses. They get out and Pharaoh's army's been destroyed, but it's a month and a half. And look at verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Really? Just a month and a half ago, you saw 10 plagues. God parted the Red Sea. You walked through on dry ground. God's provided you water in the... Really? And you're wishing, I wish we'd have just died in Egypt. How come you brought us out here? They're complaining, murmuring. In the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate. And then I have underlined in my Bible the two words, every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So God says, okay, at the end of the chapter, look at verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Why am I showing you that? This is the start, and for the next 40 years, every morning when they got up, it said the ground was covered with a round, thick, sweet manna. The word manna means, what is that? We don't know what that is. That's what the word manna means. But it would cover the ground, and they took and would collect an ephah. You say, what's an ephah? It's 2 quarts. So I think they had a bowl that was like similar of 2 quarts, and it said every man went out and gathered what God gave them every morning for 40 years. God said, okay, I'll feed you. I'll make sure you're not hungry, even though you complain. So every morning they get manna. Verse 5, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather day. In other words, on Friday they gathered 4 quarts. Okay, so you didn't have to gather anything on the Sabbath day. And he said, I'll help it last through Saturday. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? I think it's interesting. Verse 8 says, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you, in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord heareth your murmurings. And then look at the last part of the verse, your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Every morning, God rained down manna, small, circular, soft, sweet bread for them to eat that they'd get carbohydrates from in the morning. And every evening, God rained down quail. And they went out and they gathered meat. For 40 years this happened. It says, verse 7, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. I just had this thought. If you would go every morning and gather what God wants to give you, you'd see God's glory. You'll see the glory of the Lord. Notice, in the morning they get this bread. Go to Psalm 5, verse 3. There's so much in the Bible about seeking the Lord early. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3. I hope you understand Exodus 16 here in just a second. So every morning, every man went out and gathered according to his eating for the day. And then it later on says in Exodus 16 that bread won't last till the next day. And if you try to gather too much, it'll breed worms and stink and rot. Moses gets angry with them because they're like, oh, I just want to go out and gather enough for tomorrow too. He said, don't do that except on Friday. When they did it, bread worms and then it stank. And he says, you're supposed to gather that every day. That's God's plan. And he got angry with them. How come you won't listen to God? He said, gather your food every day. The reason I'm telling you that, and it's in the morning. Look at Psalm 5, verse 3. This is just one place. Matter of fact, verse 1, give ear unto my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. Notice verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. There is so much in your Bible about this daily renewal and you seeking God's face in the morning. Psalm 88, 13, Psalm 119, 147, 130, verse 6, Isaiah 26, verse 9, Isaiah 50, verse 4, Mark 135. If you start your day with God, then it's easy to remember for what God gave you. Some say, well, I read my Bible before I go to bed. You can do that. It doesn't say you have to do this. But it does say in Proverbs, they that seek me early shall find me. There's something about putting God at the start of your day and seeking and reading the Bible. For instance, when my wife and I and our kids were in the Christian school, I think I got the kids up. It was 6 every morning. The reason I'm telling you that, I've always been taught this. It takes me 23 minutes to get ready in a non-rushed morning from the time the covers go back until I'm done showering and getting dressed. So I give 25 minutes to getting up and getting dressed. Then it takes me about 15 minutes to eat. And then I can put my Bible time in there, 20 minutes in the Bible, 20 minutes in prayer, whatever time I want. And then I know how long it takes for me to get to work. So I put all those slots in there when I have to be at work, and that's how I run my morning. That's how I've been taught to run my morning. There are some people, they get up just in time to get dressed and head out the door. They're normally eating on the way, you know, stuff like this in our busy life. As a Christian, does God fit in your schedule? When do you spend time with the Lord? Does it have to be in the morning? No, there's a lot in the Bible about it. In the day and age we live, when you can have the Bible played on your phone or in your car or whatever, I've heard some people say, my commute to work is an hour and a half, and I'll listen to Bible on the way there. I think that's good. You're just driving and avoiding an accident. And yeah, you can take in the Word of God. But when is your time with the Lord? Every Christian needs it, and if God recommends the morning is a wonderful time to do so. Now, why would I do that? Because in the morning in Exodus 16 is when the bread fell and they went out and gathered every man according to his eating. Now go to John 6. John chapter 6. This is the chapter where Jesus feeds the 5,000 with a few loaves and a few fishes. After they eat, look at verse number 32. John 6, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Give us that type of bread. Look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. This is the bread of life chapter. And Jesus said, you have to ingest me. Just like bread is energy. Bread is carbohydrates. You chew it. It combines with saliva, it breaks down, and the carbohydrates are turned into sugars, and that gets into your body, and that gives you strength to move and work. Jesus said, just like you eat physical bread, you have to take me into your life and chew me and digest me spiritually, because I am your energy to live spiritually. I am the bread of life. I am spiritually what physical bread is to you physically. Notice how Jesus illustrates this. Verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Jesus says here, verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. He's referring to Exodus 16, when the manna came down every day for 40 years in the morning and they went out and gathered it up. Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Look at verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven. You're going to read that several times in John 6. Okay, everybody watch this. Jesus is referring back here to Exodus 16 when they collected bread for 40 years. Jesus said, all of you missed it. That bread was a picture of me, and I have come down from heaven for you to believe on me. You believe on Jesus by taking him in, ingesting him, how simple it is to be saved, and placing your faith on him. Jesus is the living bread. Just like Exodus 16 said, every man, every day, is to go out and collect what he needs for that day. Jesus said, I was that bread, and I want you to get me every morning. The daily renewal of the Christian life, if you're going to enjoy being a Christian, if you're going to enjoy being saved, what does it take to have a daily renewal then? Now that I've tried to help you understand Exodus 16 and John 6, they're linked. Jesus refers to it. First of all, you need a secret place. You need a time where you spend time with the Lord. Jesus spoke of the secret place of a closet. It doesn't have to be a closet. But wherever you leave your Bible in your house, it ought to have colored pencils and an ink pen and maybe a dictionary. In every older Christian's home I've been in, their Bible stays in one place. That's where they read their Bible. And if you don't have a place where you read your Bible, if it's hit and miss, then you don't. Well, I read my Bible when I get around to it. Everybody, you have an enemy. It's called the devil, and he's going to try to keep you from doing spiritual things. If you don't lock it in, this is when I read my Bible, this is the place, the devil's got plenty for you to do. Plenty of activity. We live in too fast-paced of a society. Look, it used to be, before TV, everybody went home and you did things around the house and you sat and you talked. People don't sit and talk anymore. They watch TV. They'll watch TV till they go to bed. But as far as communication, time where you just go out on the porch, sit on the swing, you know, watch the sun go down, talk. People don't do that anymore. Our society's different. You have to make time for God. You need a secret place. What else? You need a hunger for God's Word. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Job 23:12, I have counted the words of his mouth more than my necessary food, my time with God. I need a hunger. I'm excited. Okay, watch this. A desire to obey God's Word. Lord, speak to my heart. A focused attention to hear God's voice. 1 Kings chapter 19, and Elijah goes up to a mountain. He's in a cave. Look at verse 11. 1 Kings 19:11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks. You know, a wind that can break rocks is amazing. Just think through this. That's some wind. It's breaking rocks. Yet watch this. Before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, I have underlined in my Bible, a still, small voice. You need a quiet time, and you need a place where you read your Bible, and you focus on God, and you let God renew you, because God does not speak through the dynamic, and the theatrical, and the media. You need time where you can hear God's still, small voice speaking on the inside as you read God's Word. God speaks in a still, small voice. That's where we get that passage. This morning's lesson is on our walk with God and the daily renewal that has to take place. If not, if most Christians ate like they read their Bible, they'd starve to death. We eat three times a day. You need to be reading your Bible at least once a day. At least once a day.